All right, Doug's going to be with us in a couple of minutes as he's getting ready for this show, as he's getting to a studio. I am coming to you from the Staples Center, where the Kings and the Lakers play for the final time this year. And for Sacramento, let me give you the guys that are not playing tonight, courtesy of the Kings Media Relations Department. Costa Kufis not playing, Ty Lawson not playing, Garrett Temple not playing. Rudy Gay, obviously we know he's out. We know about Malachi being out. Aaron Aflalo with a lower back strain probable. Anthony Tolliver, right hip strain probable. So probable, you know, most of the times mean those guys end up playing when you're probable. So the Kings will play the Lakers without Kufis, without Lawson, and without Garrett Temple. I have not yet seen what's going on as far as the Lakers go and who they're playing and who they're not. Of course, we're talking golf and the Masters, and Ricky Fowler with a great day. He has caught the leaders, and he's right there in the mix at four under par, along with Sergio Garcia and the round one leader, Charlie Hoffman, fired a three over par, so he lost three strokes on the lead, but he's still atop the leaderboard with Garcia, Peters, and Ricky Fowler at four under. Excellent day going for Phil Mickelson, currently at three under par. And how about Fred Couples? He's on 15, three under. He is two under par. Some notables, you've got Justin Rose, one under. You've got Matt Kuchar, one over. Rory McIlroy, one over par. And Jordan Spieth, two over par as we sit here and talk about round two of the Masters. So we've got that going on. The Giants off to a start that you didn't want to see. You didn't want to see the Giants. You don't want to see any team, but, you know, a team with high expectations. And, you know, when you look at last year, you know, Arizona, this is a Giants team that now goes to San Diego, fortunately, because they look lost. And but you got a Giants team that lost three of four in Arizona. And Arizona, Colorado, the Dodgers, all out of the gate quickly with records of 3-1. But again, the good news is that you move on and take on the San Diego Padres. And, you know, if you're off to a bad start, and you're looking to get healthy, go to San Diego and play the Padres. I mean, that's, you know, if you're right now Bruce Bochy, and again, I'm not blowing anything out of proportion here. We're not even through 1 week of the season. But, you know, if I need a couple wins, get me to San Diego, all right? Or get them in my yard. Now, of course, last year, I don't know what happened to the Giants down in San Diego. If you remember, they got swept to start the second half of the season. And actually, the Padres had some very good series against the Giants, but you don't want to get off to that kind of start. So a big three-game set starting tonight. And for the A's, they moved to Texas. And, you know, Oakland had a nice four-game start against the Angels. When you look at that series, probably should have won game two. They had a two-run lead going into the ninth. They gave up a three-run shot, and they lost by a run 7-6. So instead of taking three of four, they end up splitting with the Angels to go 2-2. And right now, when you look at, you know, the A's, they got a tough road trip coming up at Texas and at Kansas City. So we'll talk about that. And as we mentioned, we've got golf taking center stage, the Masters, with round two still going on at beautiful Augusta. So we'll open up the phone lines as well at 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And again, Doug Christie is making his way to a studio in San Francisco. So as soon as he gets hooked up, we'll put him on and we'll get ready for a lot of talk with everything going on. Ray Ratto from NBC Sports Bay Area will come on with us. Also coming on, Stu Lance, longtime TV analyst, as the Kings take on the LA Lakers. I want to get into what LeVar Ball said. And at some point, you know, you would hope that LeVar Ball would get the message to just shut up, because every time he opens up his mouth, it just seems he's embarrassing himself and his family. And, you know, the latest one, you know, I don't know if I'm sure you've heard by now, you know, he was quoted on Thursday by the Southern California News Group because he said the Bruins lost to Kentucky in the tournament because his son injured his hamstring during the game. And, quote, realistically, you can't win no championship with three white guys. because the foot speed is too slow. Now, we know there's a double standard in our society, and we know that if a Caucasian person made that type of a statement in a derogatory fashion towards another race, whether it be African-American or any other, they may lose their job and they would be ridiculed like you can't believe. All right. And now LeVar Ball, the father of Lonzo Ball, is trying to backtrack. When Steve Alford, the head coach of UCLA, was reached for a comment by ESPN, he said that UCLA will, quote, respectfully decline a comment. Of course he's going to decline a comment. What's he going to say? What could he possibly say? Well, gee, you know what? It's okay. And, you know, or we, you know what? It's like, how about shut up? You know, how about if you're LeVar Ball, how about you take a week off? You know, just go away for a week. You know, go get on a plane somewhere and go to a tropical island and shut up for a week. Leave your cell phone at home. You know, don't go on the computer and just go away. It just is unbelievable to me. This thing never ends with him. Never ends. It's just like, what are you thinking about? Regardless of whether you meant it in that fashion or not, don't go there. You should be smart enough to not go there. I know people talk about Lonzo Ball and it doesn't affect him and this and that, and we talk about the impact of a potential team taking Lonzo with a high draft pick and dealing with the baggage that comes along with it. I mean, you got to stop and think about that. You really do. So if you want to mention that, please do so. Ben Roethlisberger said he's going to return to the Steelers. I don't know why anybody thought he wasn't going to return. Clearly, he had a very good year. There's no reason to not return to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he vows to return as his absolute best. Like, would you expect anything different? And then we keep on hearing about Richard Sherman and what's going to happen with him. Now, we had Chris Landry on 2 days ago, and I thought he said it very best. At some point, enough is enough with Richard Sherman. You know, yelling at coaches, yelling at teammates, thinking he's above everybody. And Richard Sherman is a very good player. We get that. But, you know, a franchise can only deal with so much. And I've said this with the Giants and Odell Beckham. If Odell Beckham does not reverse his path, the Giants will look to trade him as well. It doesn't matter how good you are. You know, at some point, you're not bigger than the organization. And at some point, your actions become counterproductive to what you're trying to accomplish on the field. So, you know, I don't know if the Seattle Seahawks are going to trade Richard Sherman or not. What I do know is that doesn't matter who you are, your act starts to get very old and grow very thin when you are continually being, for lack of a better term, a distraction during the course of a football game. And Chris Landry came on Wednesday, and I thought he said it best. You know, that's pretty much, I'm paraphrasing what he said. And at some point, you're not bigger than the franchise. And at some point, your actions, when they become counterproductive to everything else that's going on, and for, you know, basically a major headache, doesn't matter how talented you are, when you become a major headache, then you move that talent. That's just the way it is. You know, we're talking about, you know, a football team with 53 players. And Richard Sherman's a very, very good player. We know that. We get that. But I just, you know, if he's that good, and you have a team like Seattle that's possibly trying to move him, you would ask yourself, why would they move someone that talented? Because they're enough's enough. You know what? Enough is enough. So if you want to comment on that, you can at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, we are going to talk a lot of golf. Not a lot of golf, but we're going to keep you up to date.
How's that?
on what's going on with Masters. At last look, four players at the top of the leaderboard. And again,
we're staying right
Sergio Garcia, very nice round of three under par today to get himself at four under par. Ricky Fowler has just dropped a stroke, so he goes from four under to three under. And Phil Mickelson, beautifully done, is at three under par. Now, we know about Dustin Johnson, and we know about the number one player in the world not being there, which you might say opened up the door for a few other golfers. But when you look at, you know, this Saturday and Sunday upcoming at Augusta, oh boy, it figures to be a dandy because the weather looks like it is going to be ideal. The weather forecast looks like it is going to be ideal for Saturday and Sunday. All right, why don't we get to some phone calls? Well, we won't. Why don't we say hello to Doug Christie, who's found a studio. DC, what's up, buddy?
You're real funny, Napes. You're real funny, man. I found a studio. Dave Liu got me hooked up, man. He took care of me.
You doing well?
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
We are getting ready for Kings-Lakers tonight. Boy, it's some, you know, Sergio Garcia joining the group at the top of the leaderboard. And now you have Ricky Fowler, who just lost his stroke. How about Phil Mickelson, only one off the pace at 3-under? So this thing's shaping up to be a heck of a weekend at Augusta.
Well, Grant, when I seen Sergio, I thought about you immediately. I'm thinking, what's Grant going to say when he makes it to the weekend?
Nothing. I expect him to. He makes it to the weekend on the leaderboard in almost every major. I'm not surprised at all. I wouldn't surprise me if he wakes up on Sunday with the lead and shoots a 74. You know, that's just what he normally does. Hey, by the way, I'd be thrilled to death to see Sergio win a major. I like Sergio. I think he's great for the game of golf. He's been fabulous for the golf over in Europe. The Spaniard is, you know, very popular on tour. I would love to see Sergio Garcia win a major. I mean that. I would love to see it happen.
Yes, it would be, first of all, for him to win his first, and for it to be the Masters. And as I was watching some of that, Grant, they were saying that of all the courses, of all the tournaments, this is the one that you probably wouldn't think that he would win because it doesn't really fit him. But being on the leaderboard on a Friday has nothing to do with being on the leaderboard over the weekend, Grant.
No, and Sergio's going to be on the leaderboard because he's one of the world's best golfers. But again, the back nine at majors has killed this guy, and we see it every year. Same thing with Lee Westwood. You know, we talked about this the last couple of days. Same thing with Lee Westwood. At some point, does the mental block of not being able to get it done in crunch time, when you do get to that point again, does it prevent you from winning? Because not only is your task difficult enough as it is, playing great golf to win a major, but it has to enter your mind, gee, I've been here so many times before. I mean, I don't know how an athlete blocks that out.
Well, it actually is tough, Grant, and it's tougher than, you know, most people think. But at the same time, that is what separates the truly great ones from guys that just might be kind of ho-hum. And I mentioned that Inner Game of Tennis book that I was talking to you about, and this is exactly what it talks about. The fact that when you fail, when something goes wrong, when you foul a ball off, all of a sudden there's a conversation in your mind about why you fouled it off. And the point is, you're not in the moment, and you got to stay in the moment because you are good enough, obviously, to be there. You just need to let the skill that you've mastered do what it does, and guys get in their own way.
All right. Kings and Lakers tonight. Doug, before you came on, I read the list of the players that were not going to be playing for Sacramento tonight, and they include Ty Lawson. They include Kosta Kufis, who I got to believe is not playing the rest of the year, and they include Garrett Temple. Anthony Tolliver and Aaron Aflalo are probable. I have not yet heard what the plan is for Luke Walton and the LA Lakers.
Well, you know they have to stay in the top three, or in the bottom three, I should say. If they don't, they lose their draft pick. But they didn't do themselves any favors by beating the San Antonio Spurs and the Memphis Grizzlies. But we've talked about this, Grant, and it's been a hot topic for us, is the fact that you have young players and they're going to go out and they're going to compete. And you cannot tell players to lose. You can obviously try to put young players who are inexperienced out there and allow them to gain the experience. And through that, a lot of times that equals losses. But the same time, sometimes it doesn't, because at this time of the year, youth and exuberance and confidence, and all of a sudden they find a game, it can lead to wins, and it has for them. So they want to stay right in the top three.
NBA Board of Governors meetings today, and Adam Silver said that they spent a lot of time talking about rest. And he came out And I thought he hit it right on the head. And he said it's a very delicate situation. But he said the one thing that he would prefer if you're going to rest is to do it at home as opposed to the road, and do not do it on nationally televised games. And I can't disagree with either of those points. Clearly not on the road. He also said that they're going to eliminate four games in five nights, which is good. And so if I'm willing to compromise on this as a fan, I'd be okay with that arrangement. If you're going to rest at home, play your guys on the road, and don't take nights off when you're on national TV.
I think that goes without saying, Grant, because now you're talking, when you talk about national television, you're talking about the product, and you just aren't talking about the product locally or regionally. You're talking about the product nationally and globally, and yep. Those are things that just cannot be affected.
No.
I mean, this is what the players, they come for. They come to play. They're going to have to play. I think they'll come to some type of compromise where they can figure this thing out.
He also said they talked about the lottery, and he was talking about the other issue, rest for non-playoff teams. This is his quote, Adam Silver. The larger subject of the lottery, the odds for the lottery, how so-called lottery picks are protected in trades, that is something that we discussed at our board meeting and agreed that we need to revisit it in a holistic way. That's pretty telling right there.
Yes, I think that it's going to be, you know, all of these things, Grant, we have to think. These are things that have been done for a long time. And now, just as we see the difference in players and the attitudes of players and dealing with the millennials, as they call them, and all these different things, there are some things that the NBA and sports in general is going to have to adjust to and try to figure out really good ways to solve problems to make sure that there is still parity and there is still a highly competitive game out there for the fans to witness.
All right, 339-1140. That's 339-1140. I'm wondering, Doug, as you look at these final four games, Houston on Sunday, the Suns on Tuesday, and the Clippers on Wednesday, other than maybe the Rockets game, are the Kings playing anybody that's going to put anybody out on the court if the Clippers are in a position where that game is meaningless? They're not going to play anybody.
I would doubt so. I would say that the Suns, I mean, they're kind of in the same position. They have young players, so you would probably see the same type of game, meaning that they have some young players that may get out there and get after it. I mean, obviously, they have one who scored 70 points, but when you talk about Houston, I would think that they, you know, Harden has had the problem with his left wrist, and
yep.
It's been bothering him, so you may see him sit down. And, you know, we've talked about this as well, Grant, going into the last week of the season. We're talking rest for superstars and those type of things. That's totally acceptable. The Clippers kind of going to the same thing. Last year they lose Blake Griffin in the playoffs, and they lose Chris Paul in the playoffs. So they have to make sure that both of those players are well-rested going into the playoffs.
All right, so that's what we're dealing with here. And, again, you know, we talk about the NBA standings, and I still think that there are some fans that are confused by this, and so that's why I keep on repeating myself. The draft order, 1 through 14, is not determined by the record that you end up with. It is determined after the lottery, all right? After the lottery on May 16th, teams 1 through 14 will know their draft order. And so if you have a worse record than another team, you have better odds to get one of the top three picks. If you have a better record, you have less of a chance to get one of those top three picks. And right now, when you look at the West, Portland is 39-40. Denver is 37-41. Those are the only two teams that are still alive for the playoffs. New Orleans has 45 losses. Dallas has 46 losses. Sacramento and Minnesota with 47 defeats. The Lakers and the Suns, no one is going to be anywhere near them in the West. They have 55 and 57 wins, respectively. So, I just mentioned the four games, right, Doug?
Yep.
The Kings could end up anywhere between 47 losses and 51 losses. And again, New Orleans, Dallas, Sacramento, Minnesota, separated by just two losses. In the East, all right, keep that number 47 in mind.
Yes, sir.
The Knicks have 49 losses. that's about the only team in the East that's going to factor into any of this, because Orlando and Philadelphia have 51. So the only team in the East is the Knicks, depending on where they end up. They've got 49 losses. Again, we know who the worst three teams in the league are, Doug. All right? Mm-hmm. Phoenix and the Lakers, 55 and 57 losses in Brooklyn. I can't see that changing. But if you're the Lakers, okay, you would much rather have the second worst record in the league than the third worst record in the league, because it gives you more odds in your favor to end up one of the top three picks. If you are third, if you have the third worst record in the league, which is what the Lakers have now at 23 and 55, hey, you know what? All it takes is one team behind you to jump in there. You fall to four and you lose your first round pick.
Yeah, and you do not want to do that if you're the LA Lakers.
Oh boy, can you imagine that?
Oh my goodness, they've, you know, obviously they brought in Magic. They're starting to change, and they're trying to change their culture, and they really want to make sure that they put a stamp on it. Grant, stop me at any point, and let's see if we can kind of give the fans an example of how this works. So if you have 15 teams in the Western Conference and 15 teams in the Eastern Conference, eight of those teams go to the playoffs in each conference. So that leaves seven that don't make it. That's a total of 14. Balls go in. Now, with the exception of a team like Boston, for instance, who are in the playoffs, but they've switched with someone through trade who are out of the playoffs, of those 14 teams, each team gets a number of balls. When those balls are drawn, now all of a sudden you get put into a draft order. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, you know, I want a system that enables us to prevent what we're going through right now. Any system that will prevent what we've seen in the last week or two with non-playoff teams resting so many guys, any system that we can figure out a way to prevent that from happening is something that I would be fine with.
Now, I was talking to a guy up here at NBC, one of my producers, and he was saying, now, this is fantasy basketball or fantasy league, but the point is that I guess when they go through the season so that people don't tank and all that type of stuff in there, so that you get your draft picks and stuff, there's the ability at a certain point, Grant, that you put all of the teams who aren't going to make the playoffs into a group, and in that group, now you start over, and whoever wins the most gets the first pick. So it gives them, you know, it makes you want to go out and play hard even though you are in the bottom of that list. That's just an example of they have to come up with something.
Okay. All right. When we come back, Ray Rado, NBC Sports Bay Area, next here. Grant Napier, Doug Christie, Sports 1140 KHTK.
It's 3:31, time for Hot Tubs of Sacramento's 2017 blowout sale. HotTubsOfSacramento.com.
Grant Napier, Doug Christie. As Doug's in San Francisco, I'm down in L.A. at the Staples Center. Ray Rado, NBC Sports Bay Area, joins us. Ray, how are you this afternoon?
I'm awake. And
you're
I don't
awake?
Know how many people are happy about that, but it's the best I can do.
Brother Ray!
Well, I gotta ask you, in addition to your other duties at NBC Sports Bay Area, are you in charge of picking out Jose Canseco's clothes for his appearances over on NBC Sports California?
No. I'm not getting near that. First of all, I haven't worn a tank top since I was about eight. I don't have the body to wear it, and I never have, really, since I was eight. And I'm not going to tell anybody else what to wear based on what I wear.
That's
beautiful.
Because
I am a tire fire with shoes.
That is a classic right there. Oh, man. You know, let's start talking about the Giants first. Obviously, not a great way to start off the season. But when you just look at this team through spring training and the first four games, is there anything that you've seen that you're like, that does concern me?
I'm usually really reluctant to make judgments based on 1/16th of a season.
Sure.
But I didn't like the bullpen coming out of spring, because I think the strength of their team when the bullpen was strong was that they had veteran arms. And once Will Smith went down, they didn't have those anymore, except for Melanson. And Melanson's going to be fine, but they're going to have trouble getting to him because, one, I'm not crazy about their offense. And two, I'm not crazy about their ability to bring leads to him. Now, that said, they still look like an 87-win team to me, but I don't know that they look like a playoff team to me. And that's not based on the last four games. I just think that there was more to do with this roster than Bobby Evans did with it. And I think they're going to pay for those delays this year. I thought Melanson was the guy you get last June. You fix left field during the off season, and then that way, at best, you've got one out in the lineup, and you know maybe you pick up somebody in the bullpen come this season. But I think because he waited on Melanson, he couldn't double down and then fix the left field problem, and now they've got two issues rather than the one. And I think given the way the National League is going, you know, Chicago spends a ton of money. The Dodgers spend a ton of money. Washington has spent a ton of money. And St. Louis always spends a ton of money. You've got to be active all the time. You can't skip a cycle. And I think that's the mistake they made.
Ray, you make an interesting point. Last year, maybe Melanson. Now you're not going to be able to get to Melanson because of hitting. So do you think the Giants maybe learned a lesson that you just said it? You can't skip a cycle. So as trading deadline comes up, guys start moving around, do they address hitting right away? And does that 87 maybe turn into 90-plus?
Well, I think they'd have to be really active. And I don't know that they want to get too deeply into the luxury tax to do that. Because I think the one thing you're starting to see more and more is that expensive guys who are slightly past their peak are the ones who are going to flood the market. And so you're basically taking chances on guys that if you're wrong, they become expensive. And even though the Giants make a ton of money, they live in a budget world. So I think they've got to be really careful. The one thing that made Brian Sabian great was the fact that he could see a problem developing and attacked it before it became a huge problem. That's how they won in 2010. And he always sort of had that one eye toward the chess move that was going to bite him a year later if he didn't do something about it now. I think the problem with Bobby Evans, to the extent that there is a problem, is I still think he's a little bit too reactive for his own good. But, you know, they played four games. So the assumption that this can't be fixed is fallacious. But he's got to be bolder and more intrepid than he's been so far, it seems to me.
We're talking with Ray Ratto right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. With the Raiders going to Las Vegas, whenever that may be, does that expedite the A's getting a new stadium there? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, a couple of things expedite it. One, the A's have always operated on the theory that the Raiders are an impediment to them because the city's made it clear that they have only a little bit of money to throw into the infrastructure of a ballpark, and they can't do it to two ballparks. So they, I think, were waiting for the Raiders situation to solve itself one way or the other. And when they couldn't go to San Jose, and then Rob Manfred basically doubled down and said, "You're not leaving Oakland," I think that was the start of their urgency. It became more urgent when baseball this offseason basically put them on a four-year diet where they were going to get less revenue-sharing money each year until in 2021 when they were going to get none. So I think that's urgent. The fact the Raiders are leaving makes it easier for them to do so because now they can pick the site they want and they know that they have the city's full attention. But the biggest urgency, I think, was that baseball said, you're not going to be able to subsidize yourself off our wallet anymore. And I think that's the driving force behind this more than anything else.
Ray, over under that the Raiders stay past 1 year in their current location in Oakland?
I think it's pretty likely, although I think that there might be some lease modifications that the city's going to want because they claim that they lose $150,000 with every game the Raiders play there. So I think they're going to want that addressed. I mean, they're already making noises about this $80,000 parking bill that the Raiders haven't paid yet. So I think it's going to become a more contentious relationship. But I think ultimately the Raiders will figure out a way to write whatever checks they need to write to get at least the 2 years and maybe even the third that they might need.
Ray, tell us about the new show Happy Hour that we're going to be able to see on NBC Sports Bay Area.
Well, Kelly Johnson will be really good. Greg Papa will be really good. And I will be mediocre. But they said we can drink on the set. So I anticipate being a wild success because we'll all be plowed.
I told you he had a cold one in his hand, Napier. I told you he did.
Yes, you did.
The problem was it wasn't cold. It was actually lukewarm, and it tasted like they had run it through a horse. So it really wasn't optimal. But no, I'm really looking forward to it because I think it's going to be fun. It's it's three personalities sort of talking about sports. Hopefully in a slightly different way so that it doesn't look like every other show. And because we're going to be doing this on the fly without a lot of, prep time or rehearsal time, it'll be a little more seat of the pants than most. But I don't think we're reinventing the wheel. I mean, there's a million shows out there, and we're just going to see, what niche we fit into. And I think the show you see on Monday will probably be different from the one you see in May or July or August if they're foolish enough to keep us on.
Foolish enough, Ray. You're something else. Local guy makes good. I thought it was a great story, Ricky Henderson Field. Now, what are the chances of Ricky Henderson Field going to wherever the A's go to, or is that just going to be in Oakland only?
They're not leaving Oakland. So,
Or I should say Coliseum site.
Okay. I would imagine that they will keep the name at the new place.
Okay.
Because it's not like the Coliseum is going to claim proprietary rights to it.
I gotcha.
And if they don't do that, they'll find another way to honor him in an equal or even bigger form.
Okay.
Because they're marrying their history, which is something they haven't done for a long time. And Ricky Henderson is a huge part of that history. So if they don't name the field after him, they're going to name something else after him that he will find equally pleasurable. So I don't think it's an issue.
Ray, you just said marrying their history and they haven't done it. Is the reason that they haven't done it because ultimately there was the narrative was maybe they were going to leave and now they know that they're going to be quote unquote rooted in Oakland. Now it's time to solidify that?
Well, I think, all that's sort of a marketing view. And I think they've tried to, sort of stay involved, but they really haven't, acknowledged fully, who and what they were at their best. I mean, Jose Canseco doing pre and post for us. I mean, that, that was with their blessing. So they were fine with that. So I think they really are trying to reestablish their Oaklandhood now that it's clear that that's what they are. And I think it's probably going to continue to be that way just because at some point you've got to, you've got to make marketing decisions that are going to inspire, a city that's going to lose its basketball and football teams within the next 3 years. So
Ray,
it's logical that they do that.
Ray, you wearing a tank top on your show like Jose?
Not in 1,000 years at gunpoint with a court order.
Ray, final thing for you. If the Warriors don't win the championship this year, do you look at this season as a failure?
If you define failure as they didn't get what they were after, yeah, because they doubled down to get Kevin Durant to cover inadequacies that they were seeing in their roster. And the way they have played this year, I mean, they could make the claim last year that they got beat by Draymond Green's suspension and not being able to make a jump shot in the last 5 minutes of Game 7 of the final. If they don't win this time, all of a sudden, that's two failures in 3 years, and all of a sudden, this team for the ages has the same number of world championships as the Rochester Royals. And the pressure just ratchets on more and more after that. So, yeah, I think it's more than important. It's slightly less than vital. But they were judged harshly for not winning last year, and they will be judged far more harshly this year if they don't do it.
Ray, have a great weekend. Thanks for coming on.
No, you have a great weekend because there's only one available to us.
That's very true. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate it.
All right,
that's Ray Ratto from NBC Sports Bay Area. Grant Napier, Doug Christie. We'll come right back. Sports 1140 KHDK.
It's 3:49. Time for Hot Tubs of Sacramento's 2017 blowout sale. HotTubsOfSacramento.com.
We get you up till 6 o'clock game night, followed by the Kings pregame show, and then it's the Kings and the Lakers coming your way at 7:30. Speaking of the Lakers, longtime TV analyst Stu Lance will be joining us at 5:05. They're still playing at the great, beautiful Augusta Country Club in Georgia. And I got to tell you, Doug, I don't know if you have a TV on in front of you, but I have a TV on in front of me. The bunkers are so white. Like, they don't even look real. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you look at the bunkers at Augusta, it doesn't even look real. It looks like somebody just took white paint and just painted over the green grass, and it's awesome. It's just spectacular.
Look, their grounds crew, Grant, first of all, I do not have a TV in front of me, you lucky dog. Second of all, if you watch their grounds crew today, I just watched their grounds crew absolutely attack the driving range when everyone got off of it, and they do a fabulous job. So I would think that sand was probably brought in from someplace in Mexico or something, Grant.
Wherever it was brought in from, it wasn't Jones Beach where I grew up on Long Island. I can tell you that. All right. Let's just call it the way it is. So
no bottle caps in it.
No, you know what? I mean, they have beautiful beaches on Long Island, but the sand didn't look like that. It's nice sand. Okay. But it doesn't look like that. All right. So anyway, this is shaping up to be a really fun weekend with Ricky Fowler, who has joined the leaders at 4-under, Phil Mickelson at 3-under. And Jordan Spieth's having a good day, and Fred Couples is going to be right there in the mix. I mean, there's some good mixture of old and young with this second round almost complete going on right now at Augusta Golf Club. Amazing.
Yeah. Boom, boom, Couples, Grant. Seattle, yep. Washington, baby.
Is Freddie from Seattle?
Yes, he is.
Is that right?
Yeah, his home course is up on Beacon Hill.
Really?
Just right up on top of by my neighborhood there, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he is awesome, man.
I did not know that Freddie was from Seattle. All right.
Yeah, holding it down. Phil Mickelson, Grant, 1-under. Two under for the day.
Yep.
And you mentioned Ricky Fowler, man, 5-under for the day, yep. Grant. He's doing some big things.
He's never led a major at the halfway point in his career. He's got a chance to do that today. So, I'm grateful tomorrow, and I really mean this, that I don't have anything to do. I don't know about you, but I'm going to sit and watch every single minute of the coverage, because on Sunday we've got a game at 3 o'clock, and so I'll watch part of it, and then I'll watch a little of it, obviously, while we're getting ready to do the game. But I love this. And Ricky Fowler does finish the day as he makes his par putt on 18. 4-under. So he is a co-leader right now at 4-under par.
We got a game on Sunday, Grant? 3 o'clock?
Yeah, 3 o'clock.
I'm feeling sick.
Yeah, I've noticed that about you. You've been sick for a long time, actually.
Oh, man. No, it's going to be awesome. I'll just come down by you from time to time, because I'm pretty sure you'll probably have
I charge for admission for those type of seats. Just so
really?
You know, you're not just coming down for nothing.
That's cold-blooded, man.
No, it's not cold-blooded. I mean, I'm a businessman.
I understand.
I mean, it's not cold-blooded at all.
Get your paper, right, Grant?
That's exactly right, man. That's exactly right. So, anyway, we've got golf. We'll update you whenever the leaderboard changes. Again, there's not a lot of golf left to be played as they get to the end of round two. But Phil Mickelson is teeing off right now on the par 4, 440-yard 17th. And as we just talked about, he is right now at 1-under par. What do you think the Lakers, how many players do you think don't play for the Lakers tonight? I just read you the report for the Kings. What would you guess? Do you think, like, for instance, do you think a guy like Randall doesn't play? Do you think somebody, I'm just curious how you think they may go here.
I'm pretty confident. I think last game Russell sat out. So I'm going to say Clarkson, Nance Jr.
Yep.
Dang, Magoff, and Nick Young. So I'm going to go for 5, Grant.
All right. You and I talked about this yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the point at the end of the season, you might get a better game from your young players and 10-day contract guys, because they are literally playing every play like it's going to be their last. And you're getting max premium effort. And so you never know. I mean, you saw what the Lakers did the other night, Doug. They didn't play D'Angelo Russell. They didn't play Mozgov. They didn't play, and they went in and they won in San Antonio, and the Spurs started all of their guys. Now, they didn't play in massive minutes, but at the end of the first quarter, the Lakers had a huge lead.
So, let me tell you, Grant, when a guy in the NBA gets an opportunity to go out and the coach, you go from not playing to from DNP to getting in the game with like a red light and you don't get to do much to now you're in the game and you have a green light and you get to go, you are looking to go for broke. I can remember in college, Grant, playing Loyola Marymount and I'm on the scout team and I'm Bo Kimble. You remember Bo Kimble shooting all those balls?
Oh, I sure do.
I was feeling myself, man. I'm getting it up. So guys are going in the game, Grant, with a green light, and they're getting after it. And this is the point that you see some of these guys can play and they have skills.
Oh, there's no question. And a lot of these guys, I mean, you mentioned yesterday, you mentioned a guy, Yogi Ferrell, who came up as a 10-day contract, then got another 10-day and played so well. Not only did they sign him for the rest of the year, they gave him a multi-year deal.
Hey, the kid obviously could play. J.J. Barea goes down. They're not getting that much from the point guard position, so he got an opportunity. With that opportunity, you got Nowitzki who wasn't playing, so they needed scoring. So that's what I mean, Grant. The coach all of a sudden gives you a light, and when I mean light, ladies and gentlemen, red light means you don't shoot. Yellow light means sometimes, but green light means you're James Harden. You can shoot it when you want to.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, Yogi Ferrell's coming off, and Dirk Nowitzki last night, I watched him defer to him and kick it to him, and he's launching threes and knocking them down. So good for him, but you're going to see more and more of that as guys get opportunities.
Doug and I are going to be at the Wingstop Soundstage this coming Thursday, meaning next Thursday, with our special guest Garrett Temple. And a little bit later, we'll be giving away two sets of passes for a winner and their personal guest at the KHDK Studio Soundstage at 2:30 next Thursday, the 13th. Doug will be with me, of course, and we look forward to having Garrett Temple there. So we'll do that a little bit later in the show. All right, 1 hour in the books. Don't forget, Lakers tonight hosting the Kings, 6 o'clock game night, 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 with all the action right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.